A unanimous U.S. Supreme Court says that Catholic Charities can opt out of participating in a state unemployment compensation program in Wisconsin. It's Friday, June 6th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the 2020 election was a while ago, but it's still being fought over in Wisconsin. Our politics team joins us to discuss. And WPR reporters are taking a road trip. We'll have the first installment of our summer travel series. Stay with us.
Music with more.
I have a very clear memory of waking up in the morning to my mother singing "She Moved Through the Fair." And I think it just rooted itself in my brain and probably is part of what led me to the folk scene.
And my father won't slight you.
Join Sheila Shigley for Simply Folk, Sundays on WPR Music.
The U.S. Supreme Court has unanimously ruled that the Catholic Charities Bureau in Superior does not have to pay unemployment tax. As Danielle Kading reports, justices found the state was wrong to deny the group a religious tax exemption.
The court said the state violated the First Amendment's guarantee of religious freedom by requiring the charitable arm of Superior's Catholic Diocese to pay the tax for its workers. Wisconsin law exempts nonprofit groups that run primarily for religious purposes, but the state Supreme Court had found that its daily work was primarily charitable and not religious. An attorney for Catholic Charities, Colton Stanberry, says that's a problem.
Catholic teaching says you're not supposed to condition charity on things like receiving the Catholic faith.
Justices agreed the state's high court discriminated against the group based on theological differences. Groups like the Freedom From Religion Foundation say the ruling could radically expand exemptions for hospitals with religious ties in Wisconsin and states nationwide. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
There have been a growing number of street takeovers in Milwaukee. Evan Casey has more on what the activity is and one way city officials are looking to crack down on it.
Street takeovers are when people block off a road or an intersection to drive recklessly, race, and light off fireworks. Gunfire can also be involved. There have been over 50 in Milwaukee so far this year. Milwaukee Alder Jose Perez is proposing a change to an ordinance that would allow police to cite street takeover spectators $500.
You know, it's just another form of what I consider organized reckless driving. And, you know, the community doesn't want it. It's a dangerous game that people play for notoriety.
The ordinance change would need to be approved by the Common Council, but it has the support of the mayor and police chief. A new Milwaukee police task force aimed at takeovers has already led to the arrest of 12 people and 25 towed vehicles. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Years have gone by since the 2020 election, but in ways both big and small, it's still being fought over here in Wisconsin. A handful of bills and lawsuits are rooted in political fights that started in 2020. WPR Capitol reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk spoke about them with Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson.
Anya, it's been more than 4 years since the 2020 election that President Donald Trump lost and falsely claimed he won. He did win last year's election, of course, and has been very busy in Washington, but we still hear about 2020. How often does it come up in Wisconsin state government?
Yeah, in the halls of the Capitol, I hear about it a lot. It is not as in your face as it may have been in the immediate aftermath, of course, but a lot of proposed changes to election law and administration are in response to what happened in 2020, and sometimes they are legislating in direct response to really specific incidents.
So talk about real specific. There is this court case involving a multi-state database for voters. The database is called the Electronic Registration Information Center. That's ERIC for short. First of all, what is it? And how did it get drawn into these 2020 fights?
It's ERIC. It's basically a consortium so that states can share certain voter data to keep track of when people move or die. Putting it super simply, it's basically a big system of cross-checking. It's been around since 2012, and Wisconsin joined it in 2016. One of the lawmakers at the time who voted for that bill to join ERIC is Janelle Branchon. Listeners may recognize that name because she's a huge ally of President Donald Trump here in the state and massively promoted his false claims of having won Wisconsin in 2020. She's no longer in office, but now she is suing because she wants Wisconsin to leave Eric. And she's not alone in wanting that. At least 8 Republican-led states have already stopped participating in it.
So what are those states' concerns, and are those the same issues that are coming up in Wisconsin?
The broader concern has to do with voter data privacy. The states that left the consortium said they're worried about the security of that data. But Branchon's lawsuit is somewhat unique. It has to do with a change to the Wisconsin state constitution that voters approved last spring. That change says that only election officials can perform tasks in the conduct of, that's a direct quote, elections. Branchon is saying that Eric's assistance in maintaining voter rolls counts as an outside group performing tasks in the conduct of elections. There was a hearing in the case this week, and a lawyer for the State Elections Commission disagreed with that reading. He said only election officials actively maintain the voter rolls. They just get data from Eric.
All right, let's talk about another dispute. This one involves a bill over who can circulate recall petitions. What would it do?
So right now, the law says anyone can circulate a petition to recall an elected official in Wisconsin from office if they would be an eligible voter here if they lived here. So like someone in Alaska could circulate one of these petitions if they're an American citizen over 18 and not a felon. This would tighten that restriction and add a residency requirement. So that same hypothetical Alaskan would need to live here before circulating that petition.
Okay, that sounds simple enough. A technical change to election law. What's the 2020 backstory?
Well, after the 2020 election, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss did not move to decertify those election results, and that made some Trump allies really mad at him. They've targeted him in many ways since then, including trying to recall him from his assembly seat twice in recent years, and a lot of the people who circulated recall petitions in those efforts were from other states. Backers of this residency bill say it's essentially a way to make sure that only people who are actually invested in life in Wisconsin can participate in our elections, but it's also really a direct response to those recall campaigns against Voss.
So this is a bill in the legislature. The Eric lawsuit is in Waukesha County Circuit Court, but they don't have the final say in these matters. Who does?
So if bills get passed, they still have to go to the Democratic governor, Tony Evers, who will either sign them or veto them. And lawsuits can ultimately go before a state Supreme Court that has a liberal majority. So Republicans can keep having these discussions and promoting these priorities, but at the end of the day, they can't necessarily get what they want.
That was WPR's Capitol reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk and political editor Sean Johnson. Coming up, we've got the first installment of our summer series, Wisconsin Road Trip. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on. And in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Bridget Bowden with a story about an independent bookstore that's become a destination for readers. It's part of WPR's Wisconsin Road Trip series, which kicks off today.
Even in our era of two-day shipping and instant downloads, many booksellers are finding that readers still want the connection of finding their next read in-store. WPR's Hope Kerwin hit the road for our Wisconsin Road Trip series to visit a unique bookstore in the Driftless area of southwestern Wisconsin that's bringing in more customers every year.
It's another room that's mainly on the outer walls, all fiction. And then
Eddie Nix opened Driftless Books and Music in Viroqua more than 20 years ago. The used bookstore is located in a century-old warehouse, left over from the days when local farmers grew tobacco for extra cash. The brick building still has Viroqua Leaf Tobacco Company painted across the front in fading black and white letters. But today, the two-story warehouse is packed with used books, organized in a maze of bookshelves and stacked onto every surface.
I mean, there's always more coming in than are going out on any given day, which, yeah, is kind of maddening. But somehow the universe just makes a little more space every day.
Shelves stretch from the creaky wooden floors to the exposed rafters. It's the kind of place where you can easily lose track of the hours spent browsing and will likely walk away with a book or two you didn't know you were looking for. Nyx's store has become a destination for book lovers from Wisconsin and across the Midwest. During the busy summer months, he says it's not unusual to have 10 customers waiting to check out, some from as far away as Chicago or Minneapolis.
I can kind of hear them when they come in, and a lot of times it'll be like, oh, that smell, it smells so good. You know, there's something about decomposing paper that gives just some homey smell feel.
2024 was the first time in-store sales exceeded the profits Nyx gets from selling rare books online. And he's not the only independent seller seeing more customers walk through their doors. Grace Hagen from the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association says increased demand has supported new stores opening around the association's nine-state region. Hagen says interest in buying from indie bookstores picked up during the COVID-19 pandemic, and it's continued thanks to the growing community of readers on social media platforms like TikTok and Instagram.
I don't know where bookstores would be if that technology didn't exist, because that is a group of people that are huge consumers.
She says booksellers have also seen more sales in response to the rise in book bans at libraries. Many stores have made it a point to advertise the availability of banned books, from stories of Black and LGBTQ people to topics like abortion.
I think it is a place that people feel more comfortable accessing that information.
She says bookstores have become important places for readers to connect, from community events to weekly book clubs. It's something Nyx has prioritized for years at Driftless Books and Music, where he's hosted hundreds of book readings, concerts, and even potluck dinners. And across the state in Milwaukee, Setonia Weston says events are a critical way to attract customers to her newly opened store, Niche Book Bar.
You know, maybe they're there for the poetry event and maybe they're not huge readers, but okay, maybe something catches their eye.
Weston has been working to open her bookstore since 2018. She sold books from a bicycle pulled cart during the pandemic before finally opening her brick and mortar location earlier this year. Niche Book Bar offers a wide variety of books from Black authors and has an in-store cafe serving coffee and wine. Weston says she loves the daily rhythms of opening the store.
Flipping the sign, updating the chalkboard, putting it out, just those sort of things.
And she loves helping customers connect with a book that she enjoyed as a reader. She's found that as much as her customers are there to find their next to be read, they're also looking to connect with her as a fellow book lover.
WPR's Hope Kerwin brought us that story on Driftless Books and Music. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Bridget Bowden.
You can join us every Friday this summer for more Wisconsin road trips as WPR reporters make pit stops across the state to explore some of the people, places, and things that make summers in the state special. To see all the stops and plan your own road trip, you can find the series page at wpr.org/roadtrip. And finally, let's get a quick check of your weekend forecast. Some light rain in the northern two-thirds of the state this morning. That could last on and off through the rest of this morning. Otherwise, clouds today with highs in the 70s and 80s. Those clouds stick around overnight with lows in the 40s and 50s. And we could see a little bit of rain off and on both Saturday and Sunday across Wisconsin. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.